Oceans Can't Separate Us. Written by Nine of Hearts. Beta'd by Hey Whoa, I Wrote a Fic. And recorded by FroggyFun365.
And originally.
For Pod Together 2014. Fandom Glee. Pairing Blaine Anderson with Kurt Hummel. Rated G. Summary. After a bad day at school, Kurt seeks solace in the show choir blogs. There he finds a message from Warbler65, who manages to brighten his day and slowly change his world. Note: the musical interludes in this fic are a cover of the song I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles. Kurt heads straight to his room after Glee Club. He grabs sweatpants and a t-shirt, throwing them on before grabbing his laptop and settling onto his bed. After the shit-tastic day he's had, he figures he deserves an hour break before starting his homework. When he opens LiveJournal, Kurt is surprised to find a new message. He tends to keep a low profile, merely there to keep tabs on the Glee blogs, so he's never actually gotten a message before.
Warbler65. I just wanted to tell you that I saw your performance of Le Jazz Hut and you were amazing. I would never have thought someone could pull off that song by themselves. And your costume was just spectacular.
Kurt hesitates for a moment, fingers hovering above the keys as he gapes at the message. He's seen Warbler65 on the message boards, and he's fairly certain this is meant as a genuine compliment, not some backhanded insult. Plus, the guy got promoted to lead singer of the Warblers at the end of last year, and his solos are breathtaking. Kurt may or may not have a minor crush on him. Define gravity. Thank you. Not everyone grasped the brilliance of it. Define gravity. I saw the performance of Teenage Dream that you guys posted last week. You were really great as well. And I say that as someone who's more of a Gaga fan than a Katy Perry fan.
Warbler65. Thank you. I'm Blaine, by the way.
Define gravity. I'm Kurt.
Warbler65. Hi, Kurt. I have to go finish studying for an exam, but maybe I'll talk to you tomorrow, if that's alright. We could swap Glee Club horror stories or something.
Define gravity. I'll be around if you want to drop me a line. The heavy weight of being bullied and having it ignored by his friends disappears the moment Kurt gets home and reads Blaine's message.
Warbler65. You're probably in school or something because I have enough show choir knowledge to know that you're in the US while I'm back in little old London. But when you get back, I need you to spill all of your show choir secrets to me. Or more specifically, how do I get the Warblers to be a bit more creative? Don't get me wrong, we're a strong group and all, but with the uniforms and the two-step, we lack visual creativity.
His hands hover over the keys for a minute, contemplating a response before typing. Define gravity. What, no small talk?
Warbler65. Kurt, you're here. I thought we were better than small talk, but okay, Kurt, how are you? How's preparation for sectionals going?
Define gravity. Preparing for sectionals is going as it normally does. In other words, we haven't started yet. But we all know exactly who is and isn't going to get solos. He pauses, contemplating how he should answer the "how are you" part of Blaine's response. He could answer with the full truth, completely skip it, or just give him bits and pieces. Define gravity. I'm doing okay, I guess. Classes at my school are a breeze, but some of my classmates are jerks, so it's a mixed bag. How are you doing? Kurt hits send, hoping that his comment comes off as flippant, not a plea for attention. If he's being honest, he actually kind of hopes that it leads to someone asking about it and caring. He just doesn't want to get his hopes up because of some stranger on the internet. After 2 minutes with no response, Kurt resigns himself to his homework and opens his bag, pulling out his math textbook before checking his computer again.
Warbler 65. Jerks, as in people interfering with classroom time, or are we talking about bullying? Or something else? Or should I focus on the fact that your glee club hasn't even picked out songs for regionals? I don't mean to be nosy, and I'm doing okay. The Warblers have an impromptu performance planned for next Tuesday, so we've been rehearsing that like crazy. Now that that's out of the way, we're going to focus on you before we talk any more about me. I want to make sure you're okay.
Kurt's not sure how to respond at first. He mostly just stares at the message, because Blaine seemingly does care. He didn't even let Kurt divert attention back to him when given the perfect chance. Defying gravity. I don't want to bog you down with my problems, but in short, the jerks at my school are a bunch of Neanderthals who think being gay, caring about fashion, and having taste is an excellent reason to shove me into lockers. This one guy in particular always has his eye out for me, and it's just... not fun. And my friends barely notice because the rest of them get bullied too for being in glee club. They don't seem to realize how much more the bullying seems to happen to me. They're so busy being wrapped up in relationship and friend drama that I sometimes wonder if they even remember I'm there. Kurt hits send, cringing the moment he does because, wow, he must sound pathetic. Blaine's probably never had to deal with this, and didn't actually want that detailed of a response. Defying gravity. Sorry, I didn't mean to unload on you that much.
Warbler 65. No, don't worry about it, it's fine. I want to be here for you to talk about it. We may barely know each other, but I know what it's like to be bullied. That's actually why I ended up at Dalton, to be honest.
Defying gravity. I wish I could afford a school like Dalton.
Warbler 65. I wish you could too, frowny face. I'm assuming the administration at your school doesn't want to do anything about it.
Defying gravity. Pretty much. They claim they can't do anything, and no one seems to care, really. The worst part is, I can't tell my dad how much worse it's gotten in the past few weeks.
Warbler 65. Why can't you tell him?
Defying gravity. He had a heart attack a few weeks ago, and, well, I just can't spring something like this on him. He's the only family member I have, and I can't risk his heart failing him again.
Warbler 65. I wish I could hug you right now, Kurt. It'll get better, though, I promise. Just... I don't really have any stellar advice, but hang in there. And know that I'm here for you if you need a laugh or a shoulder to cry on, or someone to bemoan the utter rot that makes up a portion of the human race.
Their friendship grows quickly. Talk of bullies leads to talk of the future. By the time January rolls around, Kurt is fairly certain that he can consider him and Blaine best friends. The 5-hour time difference is a bit of a pain, along with the fact that they can't actually talk on the phone because international calls are far too expensive. But they find ways around it. They Skype, they iMessage, they talk on LiveJournal sometimes, but mostly they chat on IM when they're both home. They have their ups and downs. The week that Blaine made plans to serenade a guy who worked at the Gap stands out in particular to Kurt, who is far too jealous for someone who lives just under 4,000 miles away. In October, after being friends for nearly a year, they have a conversation that changes Kurt's entire outlook on what their near future can realistically hold. As most revelations in their friendship, it happens because of a fight.
Warbler 65. I'm not saying you're not talented enough for Niada, Kurt. I've only seen your performances via YouTube, and I can tell you're talented enough. I'm just saying that you can't put all of your eggs in one basket like that. Things happen, and I don't want you to basically pin your future on one college like that.
Kurt rolled his eyes. It had been a while since Blaine had tried to mentor him like this, but he was so over it. He hated how Blaine had a tendency to try and get him to look at reality when he was just plain excited about something. When he thought about it rationally, he knew Blaine was right, and he really should apply to more than one school, because Niada was incredibly selective. But he hated the way Blaine was telling him. He lets his emotions run through him when he replies. Defying gravity. You always do this.
Warbler 65. What?
Defying gravity. I try to talk to you about exciting things in my future, and you get all doom and gloom about it. Kurt glared at his computer, watching as Blaine typed a message, erased it, typed once more, erased it again, finally sending, "I'm sorry." Kurt snorts, "Yeah, okay."
Warbler 65. I'll try to stop doing that so much in the future. Warbler 65. I just know that NIADA only lets a handful of students into the musical theatre program each year, and I don't want you missing out on an opportunity because you somehow aren't accepted. I want the world for you, Kurt.
Defying gravity. So you think I won't get accepted to NIADA then?
Warbler 65. Kurt! Of course I don't think that. I just think it's smart to pursue as many opportunities as possible so that you don't find yourself with limited options in the spring. But if you want to apply to Only NIADA, I will support you in that decision.
Kurt folded his arms across his chest. He got Blaine's point, but he didn't want anywhere but NIADA. Hell, he didn't actually know of any school with performing arts in New York besides Juilliard. He should probably look into that, come to think of it. Defying gravity. Okay, I'll consider that. Hang on. Defying gravity. Why do you know so much about NIADA and the different programs in NYC?
Warbler 65. Have I not mentioned that I'm looking to go to school in New York City?
Defying gravity. What? No, you did not. Defying gravity. Seriously? You're not just messing with me, are you? This better not be a joke, Blaine.
Warbler 65. I can't believe I never mentioned that. I want to pursue musical theatre and I've always dreamed of doing it in New York.
Defying gravity. You have never once mentioned the New York bit, Blaine. Wow. So, you're applying to NIADA then? We'll be in the same city next year?
Warbler 65. Hopefully. I'm applying to some schools in London just in case, but NIADA, NYU, and, well, I'm also applying to Berkeley even though it's in Massachusetts. Those are my top picks, though.
Defying gravity. I really should apply to more than NIADA, shouldn't I?
Warbler 65. It can't hurt, and I'm sure there are plenty of programs that would appeal to you.
Defying gravity. Okay. I'll look into that later. I need to get back to what you were saying earlier. Defying gravity. You're seriously considering schools in New York City? March 2012. Blaine. Blaine, I don't care what you're doing right now. Get on your phone now. Blaine! Ugh, fine. Text me when you get this.
Sorry, I had an exam. What? What is it? Wait, it's March 15th. Did you... NIADA? Kurt!
You're back! I got into NIADA!
Oh my god, Kurt! I'm grinning so broadly right now. Skype when you're out of school. We need to celebrate. April 2012. How was McKinley life today?
Would have been better if you had deigned to text me during school. It was all right. It's officially prom season now, though, so...
You don't have plans to go with anyone, then?
You know I'm the only out guy at my school. I think I'll just go with some of the girls. Although I think Mercedes is the only one without a significant other right now. And knowing Sam, he'll probably ask her. Kurt's fingers hover over the keys before he decides to just take the plunge and type the next text. They've been tiptoeing around the more-than-friends part of their friendship for ages. He might as well address it a little more formally now. Besides, they're going to be in the same state, in the same school, in a few months. It's going to come up eventually. Besides, the only guy I'm interested in going with is across the ocean. To Kurt's relief, the reply comes quickly.
Oh, Kurt, I'm blushing. I wish I could go to prom with you. If I lived closer, I'd take you, no contest.
Kurt's heart fluttered as he stared at the screen, beaming brighter as he read the next text.
Promise me you'll Skype me that day so I can see your outfit.
The only reason I wouldn't force you to Skype me that day is if you were dying of the plague. But even then... Two hours before prom, Kurt clicks accept on a video call from Blaine and impatiently waits for his face to fill the screen. When he finally appears, Kurt blinks. You're all dressed up.
There's a moment of delay and then Blaine grins. I wanted to experience some part of prom with you since I can't take you myself. Blaine glances down at his hands for a moment before meeting Kurt's gaze once more. I got you a boutonniere. If you wanted. Your dad said it arrived this morning and he's holding on to it for me.
Kurt raises an eyebrow at Blaine before turning in his seat. Dad! He yells. He hears footsteps, followed by a light knock on his door. Bert pokes his head inside. You Skyping with Blaine? His eyes land on the computer. Oh, good, he says, stepping inside. So, Kurt says impatiently, my boutonniere? Bert pulls out a box from behind him, handing it over to Kurt. Don't forget to say thank you. And we're leaving to take pictures at the Berries in 45 minutes. Bert leaves with a wave to Blaine, and Kurt returns his attention back to the screen, grinning for a moment before slowly opening the box. Blaine! He gasps, brushing his fingers lightly over the petals of the blue flower. It's beautiful, thank you. He looks up in time to see Blaine glance away, blushing.
I know we're just friends, technically. But I wanted... Blaine breaks off, glancing down at his lap for a moment. When he looks up again, his gaze is settled and focused on Kurt. I wanted to help you have the best time possible. I know your junior prom was a bust, and I want you to be able to look down at that boutonniere during the dance and know that I'm there with you in spirit. If I could go tonight, I would. Unfortunately, you're going to have to settle for just a boutonniere and some wonderful friends, he adds, apologetically.
Blaine, Kurt interrupts, wishing he could reach through the screen to hold Blaine's hand. I love it. I can't believe you did this for me, especially with everything you've got going on in your life right now.
Blaine shrugs. I just wanted to make sure it was special. They smile shyly at each other for a minute before Blaine straightens up and says, So tell me what new drama has cropped up around prom since we last talked. Causing Kurt to launch into a 30-minute tirade about the insanity that is the dating lives of his friends at McKinley.
Kurt spends the time after graduation hanging out with friends, working at his dad's garage, and making plans for New York. Lots of plans. Plans for Niata, plans with Rachel, plans with Blaine, and even, surprisingly, plans with Artie, who's attending film school there in the fall. He's most excited about the plans with Blaine, however. They're finally, finally going to be in the same country, at the same school. He's been hoping and dreaming of this for over a year now, and it's going to be a reality. And, if he's being honest, Kurt is hoping that it will open a door for them to start dating. They've been shuffling around the topic for ages, and Kurt's fairly certain they're both still interested in it happening. Things between them certainly hadn't been strictly platonic for a while now, and prom had only accentuated that fact. So Kurt's first thought once he made it through the security and to the gate at the Columbus Airport was not sadness about leaving his family behind to start the next chapter of his life. It was pure excitement for the fact that he was going to see Blaine tomorrow in New York. He already had plans to surprise Blaine at the airport the next day when his flight would get in. In the meantime, he decided to text, or technically iMessage, Blaine. At the airport. About to get on my flight. explain? Okay, I'm assuming you're packing or something for your flight. Blaine! Okay, fine, whatever. I see how it is. Playful smiley face. I'm boarding my flight now. I'll see you tomorrow! When his flight lands 2 hours later, the first thing Kurt does is check his phone for messages. He finds one from his dad and one from Rachel, but none from Blaine. He sighs sadly, tucking his phone away after sending a landed text to his dad. He's not sure why Blaine's gone MIA, but he doesn't like it. It's evening in Croydon, and Blaine is always near his phone then, unless he's told Kurt otherwise. Following the crowd out of the terminal, Kurt heads towards baggage claim, hoping his bags made it to New York and that he gets them quickly. He just wants to make it to his dorm, check in, and then explore. He makes a beeline for Belt 3A, dodging around slower pedestrians and people standing around waiting at their own baggage claims. He's only standing at 3A for a moment when someone taps him on the shoulder.
"Excuse me," says a voice behind him.
Confused, he looks over, ready to tell the stranger that he's probably not the person to ask for help, only to turn around and realize. Blaine? He rotates fully now, intending to hug Blaine or something, but he's so caught up in Blaine's wonderful, real, hazel eyes that he instead blurts, "What are you doing here?"
"I managed to get my flight moved up," Blaine says, bouncing on the balls of his feet a little. "I just got in half an hour ago. I grabbed my bags and then figured I'd come for you."
Kurt blinks, trying to process because Blaine is here, a day early. All of his plans are ruined.
"Surprise," Blaine adds, shifting his weight nervously now.
"You ruined my plans," Kurt says accusingly, before beaming. "I can't believe you're here a day early." He sets his stuff on the ground gently before throwing his arms around Blaine, pulling him close and not caring about the hundreds of people around them.
"I can't believe you're real," Blaine says when he pulls away after a minute.
"I can't believe you're real," Kurt counters. "Wait, does this mean we get to spend our first day in the city together?"
"I was hoping you'd suggest that." They share a taxi to the Niada campus, check into their dorm rooms, which are only a floor apart, and then meet up again to explore. They get lost at least 5 times on their way to Times Square, distracted by all of the theatres and people and being together.
Halfway through the afternoon, Kurt finds the courage to slip his hand into Blaine's, under the pretense of not losing him in the crowd. To his delight, they hold hands for the rest of the afternoon, Blaine tugging him along to the Rockefeller Center, and Kurt practically dragging him down the street when he sees the Gershwin Theater. To both of their astonishment, they end up winning lottery tickets to Kinky Boots that night, which Blaine manages to pay for while Kurt isn't looking.
Hours later, they leave the theater, get the actors' autographs, and then take the subway back to their dorms. Blaine leans heavily on Kurt's arm, blinking sleepily. "I'm exhausted."
"It's like 4 a.m. your time," Kurt muses.
"But I'm here now," Blaine mumbles. "I'm in your time. Your time is my time."
Kurt laughs, suddenly feeling brave enough to wrap an arm around Blaine, tugging him in closer. "Yes, but seeing as how you flew in from London this morning, I think it's safe to say that your body thinks it's 4 a.m. and is about ready to crash even if you aren't in bed."
Blaine sits up a bit as the car jerks to a halt. "I'm really glad I'm finally here. Flying in a day earlier was so worth it."
I agree. Best surprise ever."
A pleasant silence settles between them, and they don't say much of consequence until they reach the floor Blaine's door is on.
"So, I guess this is where we say goodnight?" Kurt asks, not entirely ready to let Blaine out of his sight, but knowing they both need to go to bed. Blaine hugs him tightly for a minute before pulling away. After a moment, Kurt turns to go up to his dorm, only to be stopped by Blaine's hand on his arm.
"Can I just..." Blaine spins him around before stepping closer. He leans in and Kurt stiffens for a brief moment before relaxing and meeting Blaine's lips halfway.
The kiss is long and deep. It's a little awkward at first because Kurt hasn't kissed anyone in years, the only time having been with Brittany, which was one makeout session, And Kurt's fairly certain that the only time Blaine ever kissed anyone was during an ill-fated spin-the-bottle game. So at first, the kiss is only earth-shattering in the sense that this means something. It means an official change to their friendship. It means...
You stopped kissing me back, Blaine says, brow furrowed as he pulls away.
Sorry, Kurt squeaks. He breaks off, choosing instead to kiss Blaine again, this time making sure to relax his lip and jaw a little more so that he can deepen the kiss.
They finally pull back again when a door slams closed at the bottom of the staircase, both of them jumping slightly. They look at each other, bursting into laughter at the same time.
It has been a weird day. But they're together, after 2 years of waiting. And now they might actually be together. It's more than Kurt dreamt possible 2 years ago.
The end.